When it comes to your investments and retirement, in this economy, it's important to be smart. And with the Smart Investor Hour heard right here on AM 1420 The Answer, you'll get both smart and intelligent information you'll need to help with your investing. So sit back, listen, and learn with your host of the Smart Investor Hour, Tim Hayes of RBC Wealth Management.
Good afternoon, everybody. Kind of a cloudy day, but sometimes it's warm. Remember, 2 years ago, it was snowing in the first couple of weeks of May, so bite your tongue, Tim, right? Anyway, start thinking positively. Success consists of going from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm. And that was the great Winston Churchill. Success is simply do what's right, the right way, all the time. The key to success is to focus on goals, not obstacles. It's a pebble. You got to determine what's a pebble, what's a rock, big rock in your way. The best revenge is massive success. And then finally, push yourself because no one else is going to do it for you. There we go. Anyway, you know, we start off today and we talk about the webpage. If you go to WHK's webpage, you know, good old 1420, and just go down to local podcast, just a bar up at the top, down to Smart Investor Show. It can take you directly to my webpage and you can get, we offer their dividend growth portfolio, our ADR list, our prime income list for those who retired. I think that's yielding like 4.25% right now, 4.5%, something like that. You know, dividends, by the way, are taxed at 15%, not regular income like CDs. And our top ideas, I love small cap ideas at this point. I think things are getting really kind of interesting there. So we'll just leave that to be. You know, I was looking at some things over the week, and I guess I had a couple things that I was kind of looking at, and you know, I noticed that, you know, there was one particular company that picked the market up on its shoulders Friday and broke through the resistance line that's been in place for about 3/4 of a year. And the market did the same thing. The S&P 500 and the QQQs all did the same thing. Isn't that kind of interesting? So, look, I think if you look at stats, you know, it's been a better reporting season from an earnings perspective than a revenue perspective. And that's something to keep in mind, because if revenue is going down, that is usually where stocks get blown up, by the way. But through Wednesday of this last week, nearly a third of the results are in, and the stats show that 79% of the companies were beating consensus earnings per share, while only 58 were beating on revenue. So that's kind of an interesting thought, huh? And large cap stock price reactions to earnings per share beat has been kind of weak up until Friday, I'd say. So that's kind of, that's interesting too. So the bottom-up consensus of the earnings per share forecast for the S&P 500 for 2024 has moved up a bit. I wonder how long that lasts with the, you know, if revenue numbers continue to disappoint. So, but we're seeing some new earnings leadership develop. Well, it's emerging, shall we say. And if you look at the preferred gauge of earnings per share sentiment, and that is the percent of the sell side earnings per share estimates to the upside, has been stronger for the value than for growth in the last month. Okay, so we have also started tracking this slide for the top 10 market cap names in the S&P relative to the rest of the index. And recently we started to see a stronger rate of upward revisions. So this reverses the conditions that have been in place since 2023. So keep that in the back of your head. All right. So on outlooks, the macro backdrop and demand, we both saw some negatives and some positives. On the negative side, we saw uncertainty, tough comps, limited visibility, market volatility, the impacts of higher interest rates, softer conditions in China, you know, the FX impacts from a stronger dollar. And weather were highlighted also, by the way. On the positive side, the benefits of reshoring and new investments, bright spots in housing, the strength and resilience of the global economy and consumers. That's the real interesting part. And discipline, strong pipelines, backlogs, strong demand, and low unemployment were highlighted on the positive side. So you know, if you're doing the Ben Franklin close on yourself, it's kind of tough to make a decision. So there we go. Now, interest rates in the Fed, we got to talk about the Fed comments Thursday, and we got to talk about the employment report on Friday, because we're going to talk about that in a minute or two. But some companies indicated an expectation for more moderate inflation pressures, and that's what the Fed needs to see. Okay, so I think the risks associated with geopolitical backdrop continue. You know, we still have a couple wars going on, or regional conflicts, I think they're called now. The color on geography was more abundant. Makes more sense than we had a greater diversity of sectors and industries reporting last week. But AI was in focus again. And look, I keep somebody said you're talking about the same subjects a lot, and I said that's because you've got to be in these stocks. And so, you know, you scatter your portfolio with some AI, you buy some dividend growth, you know, et cetera, et cetera. At Marshfield, then you're in great shape. You know, they'll do the blocking and tackling for you. You go out and buy some things that are down. Now, small caps are defending their relatively low versus large caps. And despite the tough April, the small caps have had some renewed fears over the path of inflation, interest rates going up, and that type of thing. Still like them. I think they're cheap, really cheap, the cheapest I've ever seen them in my career. So the sentiment still hasn't gotten hit hard enough. You know, we're 35%. Well, I'll go into that later part. But the AAI poll was still negative, by the way, but not negative enough. Okay, so now the other thing we noticed is that 2025 gross domestic product estimates are moving up. So people are getting a little bit bullish, and we'll see what happens going forward. And what I thought was really one of the most significant things is outflows have returned to money market funds. Money market funds went from zero to, they went from $1 trillion to $6 trillion over the last 3 or 4 years. And now we're finally starting to see some of that money come out. Now, what I thought was interesting is $8 billion came out of the ESG funds. And that was interesting. So, you know, I think, look, the Fed keeps playing down the upside risk to inflation, but it did start playing up the downside to the risk of the labor markets ahead of some key jobs data here. And the job data did come in soft. What I thought was interesting is their open market operations, quantitative tightening, as you call it, was at $60 trillion, $1 billion a month, and they moved it down to $25 billion. I would suggest that's a very, very dovish stand, okay? So keep that in mind. So, though markets at no point this year have taken seriously the idea the next move from the Fed could be a rate cut or a rate hike, it has been a lingering risk and a key source of recent fixed income, equity, and currency market volatility. All right, so people don't believe what the Fed's saying. So Fed chair stopped short of saying basically there will not be a rate hike again. And he was asked about stagflation, and he said he didn't see the stag or inflation. So that's kind of interesting. If there was one paragraph from Powell's prepared remarks that caught my attention, it was this. We have stated that we do not expect it will be appropriate to reduce the target range for the federal funds rate until we have gained greater confidence that inflation is moving substantially towards 2%. So far this year, the data has not given us that greater confidence. In particular, and as I noted earlier, readings on inflation have come in above expectations, and it's likely that gaining such greater confidence will take longer than previously expected. We are prepared to maintain the current target range for the federal funds rate as long as appropriate. We are also prepared to respond to an unexpected weakening in the labor markets. And the labor markets did come in weak Friday. So, look, I noticed that the 10-year Treasury was at 5. It almost touched 5 again on the yield now, okay, 5%. And then it dropped below 4.5 on Friday. So that is not a sign that the people are expecting. I think we got the 4.5. So that's not expecting a rate hike. Okay, it's that simple. So I think the language wasn't surprising. We expected the Fed would need to acknowledge some recent elevated inflation data. The Fed certainly remains attentive to inflation related risks, but as the first that paragraph talks about, markets and traders have had a better track record than the economists in recent years. So I think the last sentence of Powell's statement is a bit curious, and we'll just see where we go from here. But, it's a weaker labor market with inflation, and, people are talking about stagflation. Stagflation was, we had 12% unemployment back then, and high interest rates, and it didn't work very well, obviously. So I think you got a balanced risk on the surface that suggests that there's a bias towards easing on the Fed and that it's aiming to achieve a soft economic landing, but put differently, higher inflation won't mean higher rates, but lower employment will mean lower rates. Okay. So I the latest job report, I thought, was very dovish for the Fed on Friday, and that's why the market responded as it did. It moved up, and we've been in a downtrend for the last 2 months, and I think we've broken that downtrend line. So that's real interesting. We won't know where the ceiling is on short term rates. I think we know where the floor may be, but we don't know where what we're looking at anyway. So look. There were some notable changes to the statement. I think I'm overdoing this, but that's okay. With key changes highlighted, the committee that judges the risk to achieving its employment inflation goals are moving into, they cut that out, have moved toward better balance over the past year. But that was really interesting. And also the addition of lack of progress is a hawkish development. And a signal that some of the Fed are taking seriously the idea that recent data suggests a potential reacceleration in inflation. So I don't know. The balance sheet was dovish. They were talking about shrinking the size of the balance sheet to the tune of $60 billion per month in Treasury and $35 billion in mortgages. It's now they're going to gradually lower it to $25 billion. So. That's a very dovish statement. I thought Powell's, statements were dovish too. So my impression is, we had several indexes break their downtrend line, short-term downtrend line anyway. And I think that's very, very bullish. And the fact that tech was lifted by the largest tech stock on Friday, I think that's bullish. So I think we've been going through this consolidation in tech because we've made a big run. All right. Nothing goes straight up, folks. That's why I've been talking about, the data center, calling for the data center thing, report, the AI report, the report on chips. It ain't over until it's over. All right. As Yogi Berra said, he also said it ain't over until the fat lady sings. And I don't think she's singing right at the moment. So just keep that all in mind. Now, look, if you're in the fixed income market and you're looking to get a little bit better yield, if indeed this is the peak in the rates, preferred shares are a good way to do it. I mean, we have some preferred shares with 8.25, yields like that. And they vary. So I'm just throwing that out there. And some of these get the same treatment tax-wise as a dividend. So they're only 15% tax. And you don't want to overdo it in your portfolio, but these are good. There's some good spice out there. And most of these are pretty high quality names, all right? We're not out buying, crappy stuff. We're buying good stuff, okay? So anyway, if you'd like to hear more about preferred stocks and that type of thing, let us know. We also have a great report on CDs and municipal bonds. We'll leave it at that. Okay, I mentioned this last week. I'm going to talk about it again because I think it's really important. Credit spreads. If you don't understand credit spreads, you shouldn't be running your own money, probably, but the excess yield, a credit spread is the excess yield from comparable maturities of different debt instruments. Usually people use the treasury. It's the spread over treasury. And if the spread over treasury is tight, usually means the stock market's up. when it widens in a big way, the stock market is down. For example, there was a 10% difference. It was actually 12 during the financial crisis. And I talked about this buying on the show. I said, hey, buy senior debt. Okay, because it was a 10% spread for senior debt, and there was a 12% spread for high yield debt. And I said, usually that's where the bottom comes in. Now, when the spread narrows, that's when you got to be a little bit more careful. Now, the spread widened quite a bit just recently, but not to an extreme level. So if you don't understand that, you shouldn't be running your own bond portfolio, number one. But, you know, look, bond prices and yields, credit spreads, they fluctuate daily depending on numerous factors such as changes in credit ratings, themes in particular sectors, overall state of the economy, you know, that type of thing. But, you know, you can use those advantages to yourself. And, you know, got $1 million, we'll run a wonderful municipal bond portfolio for you. I think it's a really great idea. So just remember, if you think you know, you might not know. People buy bonds by yield. And like I said, when yields are up, that's when you want to pay close attention. So it's my opinion that you want to be paying very particular attention to credit spreads because, for one thing, the computers, credit spreads are in the computers. So whenever there's a program trade, it has to do, you know, one of the variables that they're looking at and their T-squared factors and their regression analysis is credit spreads. How is it widening? Is it narrowing? You know, that type of thing. If it's too wide, then they buy. If it's too narrow, then they sell. You know, that's one of the things that you got to pay attention to. So if you don't understand credit spreads, I would highly recommend it. And we'll leave it at that. So, you know, I think we're just about to take a break, so I don't want to get into this yet. But right now, this may be one of the most favorable backdrops to buy dividend growth stocks that I've ever seen. You know, the yields are up. I knew we were going to take a break. So let's take a break. This is Smart Investor Show. We'll be right back talking a little bit more about that. Stay tuned.
Let's face it, there's a reason Cleveland homes have a stormwater drain line.
Basement flooding can be a real issue thanks to Lake Erie and spring showers.
Now, we hope it's not a problem for your home, but if it is, you know what we're talking about.
And you probably have a sump pump installed, if not more.
What we'd love to do for you is inspect your sump pump for free because we don't want you to discover problems after things get wet. We'll ensure your pump powers up, turns on, pumps water, is sized properly, and hasn't collected debris in the basin or sump. A full inspection at no cost to you.
And if any problems do turn up,
you'll have just saved yourself some real spring shower headaches.
And our straight-talking, hard-working, do-it-right plumbers will show you the issue.
And explain all your options for a fix. Because no Cleveland homeowner should get surprised by basement flooding.
So call for a free sump pump inspection and
consider it done at WyattWorks.com.
This is Dennis Prager, and now a truly exciting new benefit. My monthly online video get-together for PragerTopia Plus members only. For an hour each month, get an exclusive chance to ask me anything. I'll be answering your questions. I've never done this. Submit your questions for me at PragerTopia.com. This is our chance to connect like never before. Go to PragerTopia.com or click the banner at DennisPrager.com.
At RBC Wealth Management, we are proud of our reputation for putting clients' interests first. Our steadfast commitment to helping clients achieve their financial goals includes giving back to the communities we serve. Through supporting youth education, human services, and the arts, we hope to make tomorrow better for everyone. Call Tim Hayes at 216-774-8906. RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC, member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC.
All right, we're back. So anyway, I want to go back to my webpage. I want to talk about there are two pieces as you go there. Number one, under the insight, it's on the banner. If you hit on that, you can go and we put out our research for you folks, okay? So like I said, you go to WHK's webpage, down to local podcast, and then down to the Smart Investor Show, and it'll take you directly to my webpage. And when you're there, you can see what we're talking about right now, okay? And I change it up a lot, okay? So it's a lot of good stuff. It also has all sorts of contact me, email me. So if you want to sit down and talk about your portfolio, let me know. If you want to talk about a wealth plan or some other things, let me know. But also, it allows you to contact me. You can get the dividend growth portfolio, the prime income list, the ADRs, all that good stuff. And we do have Marshfield coming up on June, I think it's June 7th, June 6th, over in Avon Lake. And now that's a $250,000 investment, but they are probably one of the better money managers out there. I think they've been in the top 10 now for as long as I can remember of the value guys. So I only had one double digit down year, and that was in 2008. And they made it up in the next year. So the rest of the time, they've 1 or 2% down while the rest of the market's getting creamed. They're pretty good. So anyway, I've been talking about, dividend growth. And I think, you've got to look when interest rates are up, it pushes those stock down. Okay. But that's the best time to buy them. Now, if you saw what happened with the bond market Friday, it did a total reversal, what they call an island reversal, I think, to a certain degree. Well, maybe not an island reversal, but a rat's tail anyway. If you look at the Fed dot plot projections, they're talking about cutting rates sometime in the near future. The economic numbers on Friday, especially the employment numbers, were perfect. So not hot, kind of cool, that type of thing. So if inflation continues to flow and they do reach their 2% target, it'll be too late to buy them, I think. Okay. Now there's still two standard deviations almost below their average, value. All right. On a PE ratio, price to book and all price to sales and all that other good stuff. Folks, that's when you want to buy them. And, if you look at the credit spreads or you look at the dividend yields versus the corporate bond yields, it's very, very advantageous in the dividend growth portfolio. So I think it's a group that has strong long-term returns for this, the dividend companies. They're 40% of the return of the S&P 500 over the last 80 years. They're usually high quality businesses. You can't fake dividend growth. You can't. There's too many people doing the numbers out there. They'll jump all over you like white on rice. Okay. So, there's nothing. Let me tell you, if you're 40 and you're putting these high quality stocks away for 20 years, and suddenly have, your 2% yield is 10. When you need a check, that's where you get it from. Okay. Then you unwind the dividend reinvestment and boom, you're starting to get your checks left and right. So it's amazing how much the returns, if you look at index returns, the dividend growers are tops. I mean, if you put $1,000 to work in 1990, you'd have almost 4,500 now in dividend growers. In the S&P 500, total return would be about 2,100, 2,200. So it's a great way to do things. And the only thing you need to do is take a longer term look on the markets. A lot of people can't do that these days because they watch the shows as buy me, sell me every day at lunch. They're telling you to sell something or buy something. It's kind of like a rental property. When you go into a rental property, you're not buying that property to flip the next day. Okay. You're buying it for the long term. But, with a rental property, you got to worry about the rent. Are the units rented? Are the tenants making their payment on time? Do I have the ability to raise rents? Can I remove a bad tenant? So there's headaches. And with dividend growth stocks, all you got to know is if they cut their dividend or they don't raise it, they're out. Simple move. So keep that in the back of your head, and we'll go from there. There it is. I'm sorry. Lost my spot here. So, look, last week equity markets began kind of a short-term bounce from an oversold situation, and I think Friday's move was big. Okay, so that's Tim Hayes talking now. And I don't think the oversold bounce is failing or anything like that, but if I look at the daily chart of the S&P, it's very oversold. So there's a bounce coming, whether we go to new highs or not, I don't know. I still think we're in a secular bull market, and that means it's a long-term bull market, but our outlook hasn't changed at all, and we encourage investors to maintain perspective on a long-term positive basis. We're in a positive trend long-term, so you got to remain patient as market pullbacks. It's no fun, but you got to remain patient, and I think it's important that you keep the problem is, if I look at the weekly charts, okay, the weekly charts are still overbought. When you break out to a new high in anything, people are going to say, I can't pay for that anymore. It's too high. And they're going to wait for a pullback. It's psychology. It's the way people think, okay? And I think that's what's happening with the S&P 500, some of the other stuff. We broke out to a new high after a two-year basing period, and we did it in spectacular fashion. Back in the last week of October, we talked about Rob Schleimer's work and how his quadrant balance oscillator was oversold as we've ever seen it. And boy, did we make a move from the bottom. Now it's working its way down to oversold again, but it's positive. However, you got to take the good with the bad a little bit. Nothing goes straight up. And if it does, you better hit the road. I can know of one stock that's gone straight up, and I'm a little worried about it at this point. I've sold some of it, quite a bit of it, as a matter of fact. If I look at the sentiment, the bulls are at 32. I said 33 earlier. I apologize. And the bears are at 33.9. So it's actually, if you subtract the bears from the bulls, it's actually negative, which is usually a good sign. And by the way, the VIX, what they call the VIX net, is also negative. And it's rare that you get those two things going. And the put to call ratio was above one on Thursday. So those three things together usually indicate that you're just about to have a pretty good rally. And, we could say that Friday, it was a pretty good rally. I think we have to break the 447 mark on the 10-year treasury yield to break the uptrend that's been going on. So, it is fairly overbought, so just keep that in mind. But utilities have been rallying. We had our utility analyst on Friday, and if you'd like that material, that's a good – utilities are boring, but they make money over time. They just – and the compounding, if you put them in dividend reinvestments, I mean, I've owned Duke for a long, long time, and it's been a great investment for my clients because it just – it gets beat up a little bit, and it comes back, and it gets beat up a little bit, comes back, but – utility sector has broken out, and the healthcare sector is looking better and better every day after 2 years of ugliness, actually 5 years of going sideways. So keep that all in mind. And I think it's important that, you keep in the back of your mind that we're in an election year. The only time I can only remember two bad election years. That was with the hanging chads with Gore and Bush, and one other one way well before most of you people were involved. So, but if you look at the overall performance, for the most part, it's been positive or negative going both ways. Now, there's been a couple scenarios like the 80s, the 90s, which we went straight up. And that was due to the internet was introduced. So the chances of us going straight up again are pretty good because now we have AI. That's 20 years later, right? Almost. So I think there's, a big chance that, we average about 7.5% gain in the election year, and most of us in the second half of the year. that the mean is 10.7%. So that's another scenario that's kind of interesting. But you also must remember that you don't, you know, people don't look at this, but October is the key month. So if you're a Republican, you're hoping October's down, because in 82% of the chances when October's down, the incumbent hits the road. If you're a Democrat, you're hoping in October's up. Okay. So I'm pretty sure that I noticed that oil prices came down, and I also noticed that there was a bunch of land grants for drilling that were added last week. So I think politicians are playing politics in a big, big way, and you can expect more of that because the White House is, you know, it's open at this point. So, you know, generally you have a pretty good time in the market in an election season up until May, end of March. And then April's down, and then at the second half of May starts to turn up. Then June falls a little bit, and then it turns up, and it continues on to September. And then we figure out if September or October, the transition from September to October is going to be good. And if October is up, I think it's bad news for the Republicans, it's good news for the Democrats, and we'll just keep that going. All right, so I've been holding back about talking about this because, gold mining stocks are not participating with gold. They're about, let's take a break and we'll come right back and talk about gold. Okay, stay tuned. This is Smart Investor Show. I'm Tim Hayes.
The straight-talking, hard-working, do-it-right plumbers at Wyatt Works will unclog your drain for only $93.
Or it's free.
What's the catch?
There's never a catch with Wyatt Works. I'd rather starve than do business that way.
We really will break up your clog and get your water flowing again for $93.
Plus, we'll send a camera down the line so you can see exactly what you're dealing
with.
Most
of the time, clog busting's all you need. Wallacadoodle. Back to your regularly scheduled life with a 12-month no-backup guarantee.
If your drain line needs more, we'll explain all the options, including flexible payments and guaranteed estimates.
And on the off chance clog busting can't get your drain flowing, our service call is free.
You'll still get upfront pricing on solutions to your problem, but with no initial service fee. That's on us.
Either we deliver on our promise clog busting, or it's free.
So don't put up with half solutions or slow or clogged drains.
Call Wyatt Works. And
consider it done.
License number 30185.
Wish there was a place to find good, clean, family-safe entertainment? A place with no violence or profanity? Where you can let the kids roam free? That place is the all-new GodTube.com. Watch inspirational videos that'll challenge and motivate. Catch the latest music videos from Christian artists like Jeremy Camp, Hillsong, and Chris Tomlin. And share a laugh with clean comedians like Tim Hawkins, Anita Renfro, and more. All free, 24/7, right in your own home at the simple touch of a button. Visit the new GodTube.com. That's GodTube.com.
When rolling over your 401k, it's easy to get lost. Look to the experienced, knowledgeable financial advisors from RBC Wealth Management to guide you through the whole 401k rollover process. It's all part of designing a plan that's tailored to your unique investment needs. Call Tim Hayes at 216-774-8906. RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC. Member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC.
All right. A little horse with no name here. Anyway, I want to get back to this because, gold has been going sideways for about 15, 16 years. Broke out on high volume and is now in the process of pulling back. Like I said, you know, the longer the breakout, and it was a big breakout. I mean, you know, we went from 1968 to 2300 or something like that. So it's going to pull back. As it pulls back, you know, that's when you should be paying attention and saying, hey, maybe I should get into some of these, mining stocks. And look, mining equities and metal prices rallied through last week. And copper, I think 2 weeks ago, met a 14-month high. So the macroeconomic data has trended positively, even with the Chinese manufacturing PMI only at 50%. So I think, a week ago, copper was up 6.6% for the week. And that's just because some people looked at the Chinese market and said, maybe it's bottoming. Okay. That could be very, very big. And it could be, I think important. I would say this, though, the copper equities have continued to outpace the copper price. So we have two different things. We have gold outpacing gold equities and copper equities outpacing copper. So kind of an interesting scenario, we'll say, okay? But we did put out a report just like 20 days ago, make it a month ago now, our global mining best ideas for the second quarter of 2024. And two new names, one a Vegas idea and the other a pretty good mid-cap idea. But I think there's a lot of good names in here. So you should have at least 5% gold in your portfolio. I think with the big breakout, gold probably goes a lot higher than it is right now. And I think there's going to be a catch-up with gold equities. And copper equities are kind of indicating that copper is going to catch up with them. So we'll see what happens going forward. I just think, if you look at the gold price per ounce and the gold equities, miners indexed, and let's just look at the GDX, let's just say, that's the VanEck Gold Miners ETF. There's a big discrepancy. There's a couple names here that look really, really good. There's a couple names in that gold miners index that don't look so hot. So you got to be paying attention there. But, the dividends have grown as the price of gold has increased over the last 5 years. So they're a dividend play, too, now. So you got that going for you. But there's several really highly qualified names here that I think a couple of the small names look really, really interesting to me. We'll see what happens going forward. They're Vegas stocks. That's your Vegas money. That's your betting money. All right. Now, I had a guy call me and said, what are you thinking about small caps now? I said, I liked them before. We had a little bit of inflation scare. We're gonna. Okay. But they're still, they're cheap, man. There's so many cheap. I just read an article about a guy who I know from my days in Chicago, with a research firm out in the suburbs of Chicago, who said that there's like 700 biotechs trading below $2. And he said they thought 300 of them had great technology. And that's because there's no money. Okay. The money's gone away. And, I don't think it's just biotechnology. I think it's technology. I think it's a lot of other names. So if the interest rates do come down, and they kind of indicated that Friday, that they dropped, we were at 4.75 on Thursday. On Friday, we're at 4.50. That's a big move down in the bond market. So if there was a drop in interest rates further, I think small caps, look, I talked about it all last year, and we had the Silicon Valley thing that kind of hurt them a little bit. And then they took off, right in the beginning, November 1st, it was like somebody lit the fuse. And they were up 22% in the last 2 months of the year. So it wasn't a bad call. And I still think, our small cap list has a lot of good ideas. Now, I don't say go out and buy all these. You really got to take a look at the different stocks at the right times. Okay. So we'll just, keep that in the back of your head because it's important about buying things. Now, the other thing I would talk about is, look, some of these reports that we've been talking about, okay, AI came right back. All right. And I've been talking about it for a month now. AI, data centers, chip, are focused on chips. All this stuff, I think, is going to be very important going down the line here. And I think it's, I think it's time to start to pay pretty close attention to this stuff. It's time to review these reports and say, what's RBC's best idea? All right. Now, there's a couple in there. I mean, there's a couple that reported earnings. They were down big. And I think people are questioning, you know, what's their strategy? There's a couple that were up big where people are saying, wow, why didn't we know about that earlier? All right. So there's a little bit of a change going on. The other thing is some of the data center stocks have gone, but I mean, one was at 1,000 and it's now at 738 or something like that. And it's still up 200%. All right. From the time we wrote that report. So, you know, there are ideas out there. I'm seeing some of the names in the data center cooling area that are up 40-50%. Some of them are flat. They were the ones that we were neutral on. One we didn't have it as a strong buy, but a buy, and it went crazy. You know, it was 170. It's now 320. All right. So those reports are still good. Okay. So if you've sent a waveform, look at them, keep it up and whatever. Now, the other area I'm starting to see some bottoms occur in like China. It hasn't proven yet. It's just, I'm starting to see the signs of a bottom, I should say. Okay. And in Europe. And I think it's a time of transition in Europe. And, you know, I think inflation is beginning to resolve to the downside. And, you know, Japan just raised their rates again. Okay. So England kept them as is. And that's kind of interesting. So they're not backing off on the inflation fight. And that's important. But I also think if you look at our ADR list, there's some really good names on there. We have a gentleman by the name of Robinson. He's an Englishman, and he's been dealing with international equities for a long, long time, and he does have a great list here. So the only thing with small caps and ADRs is their relative performance versus the S&P 500 has not turned up yet. That's the only thing holding me back from pounding the table on these things. And I think it's very, very important that, you know, there's a lot of people out there who are underweighted internationally, like half the world. All right. And look, you know, Warren Buffett went all in Japan. He's up about 25% in those equities. So there are people, smart people, that have been buying them. And I think that's the point. Some smart people have been buying them. All right. So I think the other thing we should probably talk about is the quadrant balance oscillator that Rob Schleimer talks about every week. On a weekly basis, the momentum is still overbought, and not a bad thing. I think, you know, we could probably pull back to 4,800 and still be in, you know, we have broken the downtrend. When you break out, you pull back, and then you move forward. On a weekly basis, it takes a little bit longer, right? So I just think it takes a while for the quadrant balance oscillator that he has. It's a weekly oscillator, so it takes a little bit longer. And I think we're about halfway, all right? So keep that in the back of your head. And, you know, on a daily basis, his momentum figures are very oversold. So that's the other thing we have to keep in mind. But it is important. Now, I also think it's a great time to get organized. You know, the family inventory workbook is a way to put everything you need into one book. You know, I can make a really nice, pretty copy for you. Stash it away. When you have additions, you just put them into the family inventory workbook. Boom, boom, boom. And you've got your life in your hands. Okay. And the good news is that and make a copy for several different people, your lawyer, your kids, whatever. It saves them from looking everywhere for your stuff. Trust me, I'll never forget. There was a couple doctors, I still do business with them, and they said I could use this, by the way. I wouldn't use it. But I remember this was like 15 years ago. I went to their house, and first of all, I had to have a kid cut their lawn because it was pretty high. They were hardworking people. But on his table in his living room while we were having coffee one morning, there was probably $500,000 worth of stock certificates. He had bought them and said, please send me the stock certificate, and just left them on the kitchen table because he didn't have time to organize. You know, we took care of that. But anyway, you know, the family inventory workbook is something to pay attention to. In the meantime, let's take a break and we'll be right back. We're going to talk a little bit about the markets. Okay? Stay tuned.
Wouldn't it be nice to keep income rolling in even long after you retire? At RBC Wealth Management, we can help you invest for the future that you want and create a personalized plan to help you create the steadfast flow of income you'll need throughout your retirement. Call Tim Hayes at 216-774-8906. RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC, member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC.
This is a red alert for hardworking Americans who are tired of seeing their freedoms and retirement savings threatened by the globalist agenda. Wealth Protection Research is on a mission to find whistleblowers who are exposing these schemes. Real patriotic financial warriors like Jim Rickards and Porter Stansberry. They're not afraid to tell it like it is and fight back against the system. Now, with the 2024 election storming our way, your IRA and your 401k may be in the crosshairs. That's why we've compiled our three favorite ideas into our Election Protection Report. You definitely won't hear any of these in the mainstream news. Get your free copy of our Election Protection Report now. Just text TRUTH to 76626. Plus, today you'll also get a free gold investment kit from our sponsor, Augusta Precious Metals. Text TRUTH to 76626 now and get the free report and gold investment kit. The fight for your financial freedom is on. Text the word TRUTH to 76626.
Standard text and data rates may apply.
When it comes to managing your retirement, it's easy to get lost. Look to RBC Wealth Management to guide you. Our experienced, knowledgeable financial advisors will build your investment strategy by designing a plan that's tailored to your unique financial needs. Call Tim Hayes at 216-774-8906. RBC Wealth Management, a division of RBC Capital Markets, LLC. Member NYSE, FINRA, SIPC. Visit rbcwealthmanagement.com.
Okay, folks, we're back. So, I was looking at the charts, and I was looking at what Lori Calvacina said, and Lori's, you know, pretty high on the small caps, and I tend to agree with her. But the one fallacy we have yet is if I look at the relative performance of the Russell 2000 to the S&P 500, it's still not there yet. So, on a weekly basis, the Russell is getting to fairly oversold and is turning up a little bit, and that's important. And I think it's just, you know, it's a matter of you're going to get these inflation scares probably for the next couple of years. I think it's important. You know, one of the things Lori talked about was the sentiment is not bearish enough. Okay, so we have 32% bulls and 33.9%. bears. It's still a negative number if I compare the two, which is good, but she likes to see it much more negative as it was, going into the fall of last year, it was really pretty negative. So, we'd like to see that turn a little bit. And then I think, you know, you have another one of those big moves in the small cap stocks. We did have a big, big move into January. I mean, we went from in October, I think the index was at 1635 and it ended up at 2144. So she did make a good call. She's still liking the thing. She's just saying, you know, hey, we've got a pullback. And Lori's a smart lady. So she's on CNBC all the time. And I think for obvious reasons. By the way, if you look at the advanced decline line, which is a technical thing, but, it is lagged, but it's improving. And I'm talking about the all stock. Okay. I'm not, you know, there's a lot of stuff inside the S&P, that is more bond oriented. You know, it's like a bond. Okay. So you got to keep that in the back of your head too. But I just think, Tokyo's trying to break out to a new high and it broke out to a new high going back 35 years. And I'm sorry, pulling back from a new high, That's a pretty long time from, it was actually 1990 to 2025. That's a 35-year just dead market. And there was a couple, I mean, you talk about bear markets, they went from 2881 to 1200, then went sideways for a while, then went back down to 692, then moved up to 1786, then moved all the way back to 692 again. So the fact that they're breaking out means, I think, you know, Abi did a good job of, you know, God rest his soul, did a good job of turning them around. So we'll see what happens. I did notice, like, the Hang Seng Index, you know, was in a downtrend and broke through that, too. So that's a big positive. So what would I be doing right now? Well, after the action in the 10-year Treasury yield on Friday, I mean, we were at 4.75 and we ended up at 4.50. That might have been a peak. It was a high volume move down. And I can't tell you, dividend growth stocks are at two full standard deviations below their normal value. Okay? Prime income list is about a deviation and a quarter below. So these are high quality names. These, you know, we don't buy, you know, a name with a 14% yield on it or anything like that. We're buying high quality. You know, you want to look for high quality right now, because these will be the offensive and defensive linemen for you when you're trying to move up the field or trying to stop your opponent from moving up the field, your opponent being inflation. So these are great ideas, and it's a time to do it. The prime income list is for people who are retired and want a little bit higher kicker, but a combination of two is really good. We can run these for a very small amount of, you know, small fee, and you don't have to do anything. Just, you know, worry about it later. And if you start to do the dividend reinvestment, it gets really important, I think, in the long run. So over time, compounding is the greatest form of wealth builder there is. There's nothing even close. So the dividend growth portfolio and the prime income list are definite ways to go. I want to emphasize that on June 6th, we're having Marshfield come into town. They've been in the top 10 of the value managers for as long as I can remember, dating back like 20 years. So they're very, very good at what they do. In years where the market was down drastically, they may have been down 1%. 2022, when the market was down 18%, they were up 6.25% after fees. Okay. So they're very good at what they do. By the way, past performance doesn't guarantee future success. That's for the lawyers. But they'll be in town, and it'll be Chris Nemechek, who will be running the show. And Chris started Marshfield, and he's a very, very smart guy. Very, very smart guy. And he's a really nice guy, too, on top of it. You don't find that too often. But if you want to come, you got to let me know. You go to my webpage, hit contact me or email me. In the meantime, I think it's, you know, I saw the dollar kind of fall over on Friday. I saw bond yields fall over. I saw some breakouts from downtrends on major indexes. I think things got pretty positive Friday. And by the way, it was just one stock that pulled all these things up with it. And technology, which, you know, had broken out and had a huge move, pulled back fast, by the way, just to make sure everybody was paying attention, you know, make sure your stomach's turning a little bit, because that's the way the stock market works. When your stomach's turning, folks, is the best time to buy, all right? And if you don't want to do that, I'll do it for you usually. Now, I will say this. If it's a gap down, you got to wait a while, because it's usually, to the next earnings that gap is going to be filled on the way up. So keep that in mind. In the meantime, if you'd like to have a conversation with me, would like to start a wealth plan, no one has started a wealth plan, or no one has done a wealth plan and said, boy, I wish I wouldn't have done that. I'll just tell you that. If you'd like to have a conversation with me, go to my webpage, go to WHK's webpage, you know, to their local podcast, down to Smart Investor Show, take you directly to my webpage. There's all sorts of contact me, email me. On the front has Rob Schleimer's stuff for the week. And under Insight, there's a whole bunch of new research too. So that's all she wrote. That's it. Another weekend gone. We'll talk to you next weekend. This is the Smart Investor Show. I'm Tim Hayes. Don't forget to buy low, sell high.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Investor Hour. To reach Tim during the week, call him toll-free, 888-223-7742. That's 888-223-7742. Or visit his website, rbcwmfa.com/Tim Hayes. That's all one word in the address bar, rbcwfma.com/Tim Hayes. Please join us again next Saturday for the Smart Investor Hour to hear more smart investing from Tim Hayes of RBC Wealth Management.